We've been talking about up words for a few weeks, different words that encourage us or lift us or challenge us, words that lift up to some degree in some way, and we've talked about a number of them. Today, I want us to talk about stand up. Stand up. Look with me in Ezekiel chapter 33 as we talk about stand up. You know, they tell you that you're supposed to change the batteries in your smoke alarms whenever you change the clocks. It's a good way to remember. When daylight savings time comes and goes, you know, you fall back in, what is it, you fall back, I guess, in the fall, and you spring forward in the spring. So when you change your clocks, that's a good time to remember to change the batteries in your smoke detectors. Well, why do we need to change the batteries in the smoke alarms? I mean, I've got one. It's right there on the ceiling. I see it every time I walk down the hallway. That's good enough. It's there. But you know, if it doesn't do its job, then it doesn't make any difference if it's there or not. There have been a lot of people injured and a lot of people killed over the years, because the fire alarms that were there, the smoke detectors that were there, just didn't do their jobs. I want us to think about our role this morning as the ones chosen to sound the alarm. And what happens if we choose not to sound the alarm? Look with me in Ezekiel chapter 33. God is talking to the prophet, and he's trying to help the prophet understand his role. He's trying to help him understand the purpose to which he's been called. And in order to help the prophet understand his role, God uses an illustration. He uses an example from everyday life. He says in chapter 33 at verse 1, "And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, speak to the sons of your people, and say to them, If I bring a sword upon a land, and there the people of the land take one man from among them, and make him their watchman, and he sees the sword coming upon the land, and he blows on the trumpet and warns the people, then he who hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, and a sword comes and takes him away, his blood will be on his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, but did not take the warning. His blood will be on himself. But had he taken the warning, he would have delivered his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and a sword comes and takes a person from them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require from the watchman's hand." God uses that illustration, one that they were familiar with. Towns in that day would fortify themselves by building a wall around them. You remember the story about the wall at Jericho? That wasn't unique to Jericho. Most cities had a wall around them. That was their primary defense. And they would usually place on the top of that wall a watchman. It was the watchman's job to see if the enemy was coming, and if the enemy was coming, he would then sound an alarm. Most likely, usually, he blew something very similar to a trumpet, probably made out of a ram's horn. And he would alert the people that something was going on. He would wake them up so that they would be ready and prepared for what was about to happen. God says to Ezekiel, "That's your job now, buddy. You're the watchman on the wall." He said, I'm bringing judgment to those who remain in rebellion against me. I'm bringing judgment to the sinners. And I need you to warn them so they have every opportunity to prepare, every opportunity to repent, to turn. I want them to have a chance to get right before it's too late. So it's your job to warn them. I want us to think about that story this morning. First of all, I want us to consider the responsibilities of those who have been warned. There are responsibilities. Once we receive a warning, we have a choice. When someone says there's danger on the way, we have the opportunity to choose whether we will respond appropriately or whether we will ignore the warning. There are those who refused to listen. You see that in verse 4. He said, "Then he who hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, a sword comes and takes him away, his blood will be on his own head." Why? Because the warning was there. He had opportunity and he chose to ignore it. He chose to refuse to listen. Verse 5, "He heard the sound of the trumpet but did not take warning, his blood will be on himself." But had he taken warning, he would have delivered his life. In 1969 in Mississippi, a group of people was preparing to have a hurricane party in the face of a storm named Camille. The wind was howling outside the posh Richelieu apartments when Police Chief Jerry Peralta pulled up sometime after dark. Facing the beach less than 250 feet from the surf, this high-end apartment complex was directly in the line of danger. A man with a drink in his hand came out on the second floor balcony and waved. Peralta yelled up, "You all need to clear out of here as quickly as you can. The storm is getting worse." But as another man joined the first on the balcony, they laughed at Peralta's order to leave. He said, "This is my land. If you want me off, you'll have to arrest me." Well, Peralta didn't arrest anyone, but he wasn't able to persuade them to leave, he wrote down the names of the next of kin of the 20 or so people who had gathered to party through the storm. They laughed as he took those names, but they had been warned. They had no intention of leaving. It was 10:15 p.m. when the front wall of the storm came ashore. Scientists clocked Camille's wind speed at more than 205 miles per hour, the strongest on record. Raindrops hit with the force of bullets. Waves off the Gulf Coast crested between 22 and 28 feet high. News reports later showed that the worst damage came to that very settlement in Mississippi, where 20 people were killed at a hurricane party in the Richelieu apartments. Nothing was saved of that three-story structure but the foundation. See, those people died because they failed to heed the words of the watchman. And so God says to Ezekiel, and he says today to us, the people around you need fair warning that their sin ends in death. You remember that, right? For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us are guilty of sin. Every single one of us has a sin problem. And then you remember as well that the Scripture says the wages of sin is death. So unless we take care of that sin problem, our sin leads to our death. Spiritually speaking, we are separated from God for all eternity. Our friends, our neighbors, our loved ones need to hear that warning. They need to know the truth. God says to Ezekiel, and he says to us, you tell them. Now, if they refuse to listen, that's their option. But they at least have a right, or it's not even a right, but God says, I love them enough that I want them to have that option. In Acts chapter 18, at verse 5 and 6, says Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Messiah. But when they opposed Paul and became abusive, he shook out his clothes in protest and said to them, your blood be on your own heads. I'm innocent of it. From now on, I'll go to the Gentiles. You see, they had the opportunity to reject, which they did. Some refused to listen. In which case, it is not the watchman's responsibility anymore. His responsibility is to tell the truth. When others reject it, that becomes their responsibility. When your friends and your loved ones don't listen to your story about how God loves them and how He changed you, if they refuse to listen, that's on them. But it's still up to us to tell the story. There are those who refuse to listen. There are those who choose to listen. Did you see that at the end of that verse? At the end of verse 5 in our text, he heard the sound of the trumpet but did not take warning. His blood will be on himself. But had he taken warning, he would have delivered his life. There are some who choose to listen. And we may not know what the other person will choose when we go to tell them of God's love, when we go to warn them about the consequences of sin. We don't know what they will choose. Will they choose to listen, or will they choose to refuse? We don't know. But it is our job nonetheless to tell the story, to give the warning. We see the responsibilities of those who have been warned. Let's see then the responsibilities of the watchman. What is the responsibility of the watchman? What is our role, our purpose in all of this? Verse 6, but if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and a sword comes and takes a person from them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require from the watchman's hand. You see? He says if the watchman doesn't warn the people at all and danger comes, then it's not the people's fault, it's the watchman's responsibility. He failed to speak. He failed to tell them what they needed to hear. Look how that's applied the next few verses, starting in verse 7. Now, as for you, son of man, I have appointed you a watchman for the house of Israel. So you will hear a message from my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require from your hand. But if you, on your part, warn a wicked man to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he will die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your life. You see, either way, the watchman must speak, must warn those around him. He must give the message to his community. Then they can choose what they do with that information. There was a group in the army who welcomed a new chaplain. When the chaplain showed up, this group of men came together and they wanted to meet him and talk to him. And they said to the chaplain, do you believe in a real hell? And the chaplain said, oh no, I don't think there's a real place called hell. And so the men said to him, we want you to resign this post. And he said, why do you, I just got here. Why do you want me to resign? And they said, well, if you're right and there's no hell, then we don't need you. But if you're wrong and there is one, then you're going to lead us astray and we don't want you. Reckon God means it in the scripture when he says everyone sins, but if you sin, you die. Reckon he means it that if we die in our sin, we're separated from him for all eternity? Reckon he means it so much that he sent his very own son to pay the penalty for sin in order that we might have life? If he takes it that seriously, how do we take it so lightly? Our friends, our neighbors, our loved ones, our community needs to hear that sin is a reality. That hell is separation from God for all eternity, and we don't want that for anyone. Look at what Paul said in Acts chapter 20 at verse 26. He said, therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men. How could he say that? How could Paul say, I don't have responsibility for anybody else? You know why? Because he's already told them, I spend all day, every day among you telling you the truth. Therefore, it's on you now. I've done my part. You see, a little bit later in that same chapter in verse 31, he says, therefore, be on the alert, remembering that night and day for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one with tears. He said, I've told you, and I've told you, I want you to listen, I want you to hear. There's a missionary whose name was Susie Hobert. Susie believes that one of her main responsibilities as a mother is to teach her children to care about their lost friends. She must have done a pretty good job, because at 10 years old, Ryan was driving imaginary race cars with his friends. Several minutes later, he came running into the house and he yelled, Mom, you got to come quick. Isabel wants to accept Jesus. And skeptical that her child may not understand everything, wondering why he's all of a sudden interested in spiritual things, Susie said, well, Ryan, I thought y'all were playing with race cars. He said, we were, Mom, but our car is wrecked, and the accident was real bad. So I asked Isabel if she would go to heaven if she dies. And she said she didn't know. I told her she could know, and now she wants to ask Jesus in her heart. And you know, bottom line, folks, it's really pretty much that easy. You live life with the people around you. You get involved in your community. You get to know your neighbors. You love your family. And as you have everyday normal conversations, you look for opportunities to say, hey, do you know that God really loves you? Do you know you have a sin problem, but he can take care of it for you? It's not near as hard as we make it. It's the responsibilities of the watchman to sound the alert, to tell the truth. We need watchmen who will take their position on the wall, to accept their responsibility and to stand up, to stand strong on the wall, to stand up for truth, to stand up for the gospel. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I wonder how many of us can say that today. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because I know it doesn't make me some freak. Instead, it is the power of God for salvation. I'm not ashamed that God is the one at work. I'm not ashamed that it's the power of God who can bring salvation. I'm glad to tell somebody about it. You know what? We don't need a whole lot more training. We just need a whole lot more loving and a whole lot more talking. Take your stand on the wall. Stand up. Tell your friends and neighbors Tell your loved ones the truth. Imagine the impact we could have if we would all stand up. There was a little town not too much unlike ours. A little town a lot like ours. And a big company there was wanting to expand. And the little town said, "Now, you know what? If you expand, you're going to take up some more room. And I don't know if we really want that expand. You're going to bring in new people that we don't know. And they might bring in new ways. And I don't think we really want you to have that much influence here. I don't think we want you to expand." So that business started paying all of the workers in silver dollars. You didn't get a paycheck. You got a stack of silver dollars. And over time, that community realized that every time they went to the grocery store, they got their change in silver dollars. And before long, when they got their gas at the gas station, they could either pay with a credit card or with silver dollars. And they noticed that everything, the whole economy in that town, wound up being based on the silver dollar. And they realized the influence that one company had in their community. They had kind of taken it for granted. It's just out there on the outskirts of town doing its thing. And now they realized the influence that company had on their community. I'm suggesting to you this morning that the churches in our community have a tremendous influence and impact on our community, but I'm not sure that we recognize it. What if each one of us stood up? If each one of us started telling our friends and neighbors the truth about sin, the truth about God's love, about heaven and hell, imagine the impact we could have on this community, for that matter, on this entire county. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 at verse 14. Thanks be to God who always leads us in His triumph in Christ. Now listen to this. It's a little bit hard to follow. Listen. And manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place. Did you know that Christians are supposed to smell? Christians are supposed to smell. He says He manifests through us a sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place. For we are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one, an aroma from death to death. To the other, an aroma from life to life. He says we are to influence our community, our lives, just by living our lives and being real. We influence those around us, and they smell God on us. For some, that's an encouragement. For some, it said they say, "I want that. I want life." For others, it smells like death because they know they're going to reject it. And they know they have no hope. But you see, that's their choice. Our role is to speak, to stand up. Our role is to be that sweet aroma that infiltrates our community. I started wondering why we're not more influential, why we don't sound the alarm. And I started thinking about the watchman on the wall. I'm thinking that there are maybe some reasons that watchmen might not alert their community. One is maybe the watchmen just get sleepy. You know any sleepy Christians? I don't mean toward the end of the sermon when you've been sitting too long. I mean in everyday life, complacent, sleepy, get up and go to work, go to bed, get up, go to work, go to bed, complacent, day in, day out, just the routine Christians. I wonder how many of us kind of go through life complacent, sleepy, in a fog, just letting life happen to me instead of me influencing it. Sometimes I think those watchmen got sleepy. Sometimes I think they were afraid. What would my neighbor do if I woke him up in the middle of the night? He might get mad at me. And so instead of worrying about the danger outside, the danger that was coming, instead of warning about the judgment on its way, the watchman didn't speak because he was afraid he might offend. I thought about a watchman who maybe he didn't sound the alarm just because he wasn't paying attention. He was awake. And he don't care if somebody gets mad at him. But he's just not paying attention. He doesn't even think about the fact that God says there's judgment. He doesn't think about the fact that God says there's love that changes life. He just don't pay attention. I reckon we got a lot of folks in our church, and I mean the universal church. I reckon we got a lot of folks in church who just kind of don't pay attention, go through life. I saw an interesting survey recently. It caught my attention. In this survey, 90% of the people, these are churchgoers, 90% of the churchgoers said that the church was here to provide for my spiritual needs. 10% said that the church was here to save the lost. I think we just get complacent. It's not that we don't care. It's not that we're asleep. It's not that we're scared. We just don't think about it. We're just not paying attention. I want to challenge you this morning. Stand up. Take your spot on the wall. Let your friends and loved ones know that sin is a real deal and that judgment will come. Let them know that they don't have to face that kind of full eternal judgment. They can be forgiven because God's already paid the penalty. Let them know God loves them. Folks, we're in a wilderness together. If you found the water, show them where it is. When danger's coming, we've got to speak. And if you've got lost friends and loved ones and neighbors, danger's coming. Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for this challenge. We pray that you'd help us to take a stand at work. Not to be obnoxious, not to be unruly, not to set up some kind of lawsuit, but to take a stand for truth. To do it in a loving way. Father, help us to take a stand at home for what's right and what's real. Help us to stand up in our community, to have an influence and to be heard, that we might do that which you've called us to do. Lord, forgive us when we fall asleep in complacency, or we let fear silence us, or we just don't pay attention to the needs around us. Forgive us. And help us, Lord, to see people like you do. Sheep in need of a shepherd. Need to be protected from impending danger. Lord, as we consider those issues and we kind of make recommitment to being your spokespersons, help us to say again, I'll follow Jesus wherever he goes. Help us today to renew that commitment that I'll follow Jesus. The world might not come, but I'll go. And wherever he takes us this morning, Father, help us to follow. Help us to be obedient. We pray in Jesus' name.